If you'd like to fascinate a child with a story, one of the best ways to do that is to make that child the main character in that story. Nearly 100 years ago, a little boy in England received a stuffed bear on his first birthday. Soon after, his father, a novelist and playwright, began to write stories featuring the little boy, the stuffed bear, and many of the toys in the little boy's playroom as characters. You know this bear as Winnie the Pooh. You know the little boy as Christopher Robin. Since then, Winnie the Pooh has been enjoyed by generations of children. It's been translated into more than 50 languages, featured in songs, movies, and television specials. But it all began with a little boy and a stuffed bear, just as characters in a simple story. Everyone here has a story. Your story may not have began with a stuffed bear, but we all have a story. I have a story, and you have a story. Some of our stories, they read like tragedies. Some are like comedies. Others are mysteries. Some are romance. Some of our stories are longer than others. Some are just getting started. But all of our stories, as different as they are all part of a bigger story. They're a story, part of a story that's older than all of us. It defines us all. This is a story that's told from the very first lines of Genesis to the very last lines of Revelation. This is a story that can guide us if we allow it. If you're a guest of ours today, my name's Charlie, and I'm a student ministry pastor. And I'm really excited about being able to kick off this new series that's going to lead us all the way to Easter. This morning, we're going to be in the book of Genesis. We're going to be in the 22nd chapter. But before we really dig in to this passage, before we really dig in and see what God has for us all, I'd like for us to watch a short video clip. Can you? Thank you.
Isaac.
Eat up. When you have children of your own, you'll want them to grow up as big and... Abraham? What's the matter?
God wants a sacrifice. My boy, come with me. provide a sacrifice, my son.
Did Abraham take a lamb?
No, mistress.
He wouldn't.
Bring the wood. Isaac, you must trust in God. Sacrifice. Oh, my boy, my boy, my boy.
This is a story that for many of us, we have read and heard for many years. But for some of us, this is just the first time that we're hearing this story. This is a story of great faith. This is a story of a father whose obedience to God was so strong that he was willing to make the ultimate sacrifice. This is a story that's usually told from Abraham's perspective. But today I want us to look at it a little differently. I'd like for you to put Isaac's sandals on today. And let's look at it from his perspective. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 22. So if you want to go ahead and start making your way over there, that would be great. This is a story of all of us. And there's three very important ways that this is my story and in your story as well. We're going to begin in Genesis 22, verse 1. But before we really jump into this, I want to give you just a little bit of background, especially if this is one of the first times you've ever heard this story. Abraham was a very rich man. But Abraham didn't have any children until he was very old. And when he was very old, him and his wife Sarah, they heard from God and said, I'm going to give you a child. And so a few years later, that child came. Abraham was 100 years old. So that's something I'd just like for you to keep in the back of your mind as we read this story, where they were in life. Very old, first child. God's calling them to do something. It's powerful. So let's begin in verse 1. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to Abraham, and he said, "Here I am." He said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to the young men, "Stay here with the donkey, and I and the boy will go over there and worship, and we will come to you." And Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both together. And Isaac said to his father, Abraham, "Father, my father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering." And so they both went together. And this is where we see our first point. Our first point is, my life is an uncertain journey. My life is an uncertain journey. Your life is an uncertain journey. But just put yourself in Isaac's shoes. Just place yourself there for just a minute. You know, his dad came up to him and he said, "Hey, let's go on a road trip." And I know for me, when my dad would say, "Hey, let's go someplace," I was excited because we were going to go see something cool. We were going to do something that was really neat. But this road trip took them about 50 miles from where they lived. And it took them 2 full days of travel to get there. And on the third day, they saw where they were arriving. The Bible doesn't tell us much about what Isaac knew at this point. But in any case, it's clear that Isaac doesn't know much about what's going on. There was a lot that was still a mystery to him that hasn't been revealed to him. But isn't that true about your life and my life? We're all on a journey, an uncertain journey. We don't know what lies ahead. And I can just really kind of relate to Isaac at this point because I think he knew where his life was going. And when I was young, I knew where my life was going. I knew what laid ahead. And I thought everyone lived the way that we lived. I thought that anyone that wanted to go fishing would just pick up the phone, call the marina, and say, "We'll be there at 5 o'clock in the morning." And so that the next morning you'd get up early, you'd put your rod and reels, you'd put your lunch in the pickup truck, you would drive to the marina, you would pull up to the marina, the guys that worked there would come out, get your rod and reels, get your ice chest, carry it to your boat, put it in the boat. The boat would be at the dock. It would be loaded with ice and bait, and it was running. And so you would just get on the boat. They would untie it and send you away. You'd go spend the day fishing. You'd come back that afternoon. They would be at the dock ready to tie the boat up. They would take your catch off, put it in the back of the truck, put your rod and reels. You would go home, and they'd take care of cleaning the boat. I thought that's how everybody lived when I was a kid. But life became uncertain. There was a point where that was no longer my lifestyle. And life really became uncertain. Then as I grew, I became a business owner. And talk about uncertainty. You know, when things were good, the bills were paid, we were eating. But when times were bad, I'm scraping by. I don't know, can I make my bills? Can I pay my employees? Am I going to eat this week? And so life became very uncertain for me. Perhaps you're here today and life, your life is totally uncertain and you don't know where you're headed. Or maybe you've been a Christian for many years and there's areas in your life that are uncertain. Maybe your marriage seems uncertain. Maybe your job in these economic times seem uncertain. Maybe it's your relationships at work that are uncertain. Or maybe it's the direction that your children are going in that seems uncertain. But you know, Scripture tells us that no man knows what's going to be. None of us know. Doesn't matter how much we think we know. It doesn't matter how educated we are. It doesn't matter how much we think we've figured out. Your life and my life is an uncertain journey. But that's only one way that Isaac's story is your story and my way, my story. There's another way that we can relate to Isaac. And that's that my death appears certain. If you will, pick up with me in verse 9. And it says, when they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound his son Isaac, laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And then Abraham reached out his hand and he took the knife to slay his son. Man, can you imagine? Put yourself in Isaac's shoes here. Did his dad surprise him? Did Abraham fill him in? Did he tell him what was going to happen? Did Isaac resist? We don't know for sure. But at this point, we kind of see that Isaac's got some stuff figured out here. But at some point, he realized that his death was certain. While the Bible doesn't give us a big account on what all Isaac did know at this time, but it does give us a lot of detail in other things. We know that Abraham reached out his hand, and he took the knife, and he raised it up to slay his son. You talk about your life flashing in front of your eyes. I think we've all had such moments where our life has flashed in front of our eyes. Maybe it was a cancer scare. Maybe it was a car accident or an operation. But you know, for me, I had many opportunities that my life appeared certain, my death appeared certain. There was a time that I didn't live for Christ. There was a time that every single day I would bind myself hand and foot and lay myself on the altar. And I did that by the people I hung out with. I did that with the things that I listened to and I saw and I said and I did. Every day, I would bind myself and put myself on that altar. And my life, my death appeared certain. You know, maybe today you have something that's binding you up and putting you on that altar. Maybe today your marriage is binding you and placing you on that altar. Maybe it's the uncertainty of the direction that your children are going that's binding you and putting you on that altar. I don't know what your story is. Maybe your work. But your death appears certain. But Isaac's story is my story. And the Bible tells us that sin came into this world because of what one person did. What one person did. Regardless, we've all rejected God's will for our lives. We've chose our own path repeatedly. The Bible Ministries are going to begin airing a mini-series on the History Channel tonight. And in one of the scenes, Moses has to explain the last plague to his people. And he tells them that death is coming for us all. And it's true. It's true. You may not be physically bound hand and foot and laid on the altar. The angel of death may not be coming through your house tonight. But death is coming for us all. One way or another. Sometime sooner or later, it's coming. Sounds pretty depressing, doesn't it? That death is coming for us all. But hang with me, because you know what? There's good news. But before we can really appreciate and understand the good news, we need to understand the bad news. Every one of us in this room are facing physical death, just like Isaac did on that altar. It's not a question of if death is coming. It's only a matter of when it's coming. You know that our time on this planet is limited. You know that the human condition is terminal. You know the death rate is 100%. You may hope it's not today. You may think you have all the time in the world. None of us knows. Because the scripture tells us no man knows when his time will come. But happily, that doesn't have to be the end of the story. There's another way that my life is like Isaac's life. And this is our third point. It's my salvation has been provided. If you will, pick up with me in verse 11. Just remember that Abraham has bound his son. He's on the altar. He's raised the knife. He's ready to slay his son. We pick up in verse 11. It says, "But the angel of the Lord called out from heaven and said, 'Abraham, Abraham.' And he said, 'Here I am.' He said, 'Do not lay a hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing that you haven't withheld your son, your only son, from me.' And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and he took the ram. He offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son Isaac. So Abraham called the place, 'The Lord will provide.' As it is said today, to this day, on the mountain of the Lord, it shall be provided." Can you imagine? Put yourself in Isaac's shoes. You're on that altar. You were bound hand and foot. Your dad is standing above you with a knife raised, ready to slay you. Isaac was probably on that altar with his eyes closed, embracing himself. And he was waiting. And then the angel of the Lord spoke up and he said, "Stop it. Don't touch the boy." Because God provided a ram, a sacrificial animal, a substitute. And Isaac was saved. Do you know that that's your story? You may not be physically bound hand and foot on the altar. You may know the shackles of sin. You may know what it's like to be tied up in knots. You may even know that the Bible says that for the wages of sin is death. But your story doesn't have to end here. Not any more than Isaac's ended that day. Because God provided a lamb, a substitute for you and for me. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. You know, John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus standing on the Jordan River, he announced to everyone, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." God provided a lamb for all of us. He's provided one for me, and he's provided one for you. Let me just ask you, just go there one more time with me. Put Isaac's sandals on. You're on that altar. And then God provides your salvation. Do you imagine that Isaac just crawled off of that altar and went, "That was a close call"? Or are you like me that you imagine that he dropped to his knees with tears of gratitude? God's provided a sacrifice. He's provided one for your life. You may be here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You may just be beginning that journey. God's provided a sacrifice for you. But you may be here this morning and you may have been a Christian for many years. And you may be having areas of your life that are uncertain, that are bound, and that they're on that altar. It may be your marriage, but God's the salvation for your marriage. It may be the direction in which your children are going, but God is the salvation for your children. It may be your work. You may not know if you're going to have a job tomorrow or not, but I want to tell you that he is the salvation for your job. Do you think today you could drop to your knees like Isaac did and respond with gratitude for what Jesus Christ did for you? Because it doesn't matter if you've been a Christian a long time or you're just becoming one. The gospel of Jesus Christ is what sustains us every day and what gives us hope for the future. I'd just like to ask everyone just to close their eyes. Let's bow our heads for a minute. And you may be here this morning and you're like, "You know what? I don't have that hope for my future. I don't know where life is taking me. Things are uncertain." And if that's you this morning, I'd like for you to pray with me. I'd like for you to pray just a simple prayer. "Lord God, thank you for providing my salvation. Thank you for the spotless Lamb of God who was given and taken away the sins of the world. I confess that I'm a sinner like everyone else here, and I turn to you, and I accept Jesus' sacrifice on the cross as a payment for all the wrong things I've done. I ask that you just come into my heart, take charge of my life from this moment on. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. This morning, if you prayed that prayer with me, or maybe you might have had a spot in your life you needed to commit to Christ, in your connections guide this morning, there's a response card. We would love to know that here at Two Rivers Bible Church. We'd love to know if you accepted Jesus Christ today. We would love to know if you have prayers that you need us to be praying for. So please take just one more moment to fill one more little thing out today. Place it in the offering plate as it comes by.